Good morning. It is good to see all of you here this morning. I don't know if any of you know that I played women's lacrosse in high school and college. Did anybody know that? Okay. So we each had to, and that was back in the olden days where our sticks were wooden, and then they had woven netting at the top.
Yeah, the carvings and tree limbs.
No, that was a couple years before me. But we didn't wear face masks. We did wear mouth guards. But now the girls wear face masks, and the boys wear, well, they wear helmets. They are allowed to tackle, where women are not allowed to. But I have to tell you that from high school, I played offense, and I was, you know, a scoring position, so smile, happy, and be me. And when I went to college, they put me on defense and said, try to look mean. try to look mean. 110 pounds out there. Girls were shooting balls at me, and I was playing defense. So quite a unique time. But what I did is I really concentrated on my own skills. I thought, if I can match my stick to their stick, if I can at least keep up with them running or be faster than them. So I really worked on my own skills, as did the other women on the team. And we had to learn to blend our skills together to complement each other so that when we were on the field, we were able to catch and throw and run and keep up with others, and the ball would zigzag as it was thrown from side to side to side, and then a goal would be scored. And you know how girls are, like, oh, we'd all jump up and down and be happy and thrilled, and it looked really amazing when we could complement each other with the skills that we had. We had to take care of ourselves, we had to learn our skills, and then we had to blend our skills and complement our skills with the people on the team. Well, our church is made up of all different people from a variety of backgrounds and experiences. And we have come together to commit to serving Jesus and obeying Jesus. And boy, amazing things happen here when we complement each other's gifts. I think we should all be jumping up and down and going, yay, more often, when all this good stuff happens because we're serving Jesus, loving Jesus, and complementing each other with our own skills, bringing our skills to serve others. Know that those who are blind of their hurtful, heart-bruising words and actions become alienated from this life which includes Jesus, from this celebratory, yay, we can work together and complement each other. And that's really sad that their hearts have been hardened. Within the New Testament, the word holy is used to describe God's people in general, not just a few chosen. Holiness is a goal that each Christian should be striving for in their lives. Holiness is fundamental to our witness and service in this world. I'm going to be reading from Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 17. So Ephesians 4, verse 17, 17 through 19 to begin with. The subtitle of this is Living as Children of Light. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives them because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. We are to walk as a child of God. There is a place for you in the Father's house. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. He has chosen us. Let's say that together. He has chosen us together. He has chosen us in the light, not in the darkness. We must live. Do not close your mind or turn from the love that Jesus has to offer you. I love that when we come into this church,
You're going to get a smile. You're going to get a welcome. You're going to get a lovely greeting. If you're in need of something, someone will step up to help you. We complement each other. There is greed in this world, and greed is defined as an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth or power and food. It is an uncontrolled longing for an increase in an acquisition or use of material gain or social value, such as status or power. As greed enters a person's heart, the heart becomes blind and darkened. The person becomes ignorant of the life of God that is available to him and to man. And they are alienated. They alienate themselves from God. The exploitation of people comes back to the greed of people. Two instances just recently that have really become clear to us would be the Bush House Hotel in Quakertown. The poor, the weak, the uneducated, the unhealthy people were living in a house that was full of bugs. They weren't being taken care of appropriately. People were not watching over them. And yet someone was making over $500 a month from each of them to be able to live in a home like that. And trafficking. 48 hours is what it takes for a person who runs away from their home. 48 hours. Within those 48 hours, someone will come up to them and offer them drugs, the runaway drugs, or get them into a pimped out type of situation. Wow. Greed. It's out there. Be aware of it. We are encouraged to be the person to recognize that person who sins and sins and sins and sins. Recognize that person because they have a hardness in their heart, and it becomes difficult for them to notice their sins. Just as our Lord has pursued us, he is also pursuing that sinner. Keep those people, keep those sinners in your prayers, along with the victims they have created. Verses 20 to 24 are further directions written by Paul for the Ephesians to live as Christians. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Some people go, who, me? I can be righteous? I can be holy? Absolutely. Put away the sin, put away the thoughts, and turn to God. Our new nature becomes one that is righteous and holy as we learn to love others unconditionally. Moving away from greed allows us to fully focus on our loving God who provides the needs that we have. The believer is motivated by love. When motivation is from Jesus, people become the hands and feet of our Lord. Following his truth leads to glorious outcomes. Isn't it wonderful to be around people who are motivated by love, the love of Christ? The connection I made with the Hope, Sweatshirt of Hope organization, just meeting Terry Durstein, inviting him here, and then with the Bush House situation, and he drove up 60 sweatshirts to provide for the people who are now homeless. They are trying to find homes for them, but they had most of their clothing was left in their rooms. So the joy, we should feel joy that our church was able to make that connection and be able to provide. We have all seen the results in the world as people motivated by greed have harmed others or have harmed this earth. Be careful whom you listen to or whom you watch on TV. Be careful who you converse with and what you spend your time doing, as it will affect your walk with Christ. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes daily. Have a family member or a friend or someone near and dear to you that you can renew your thoughts together, read the Bible together, spend time in prayer. We are to walk as a new person in our new nature, the nature of Christ. You are as much a gift to your friend or your family member as your friend and family member is to you. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, we read, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Catch yourself when your thoughts start to stray or when you start to think negatively. Catch yourself. Take time to pray. Have an attitude adjustment in some way. Believers are called to make a decisive commitment to Jesus. Do not follow him out of guilt or greed. Avoid ways that are not pleasing to God and search for ways that are pleasing to God. People are watching. Your heart is growing. Do not conform to the ways of the world. Embrace your change. Rejoice in knowing that you are an instrument. You're an instrument, a working gadget of God's hands being used to accomplish his purpose. When you gather together for Thanksgiving, will your friends and family recognize you as one of God's working gadgets accomplishing his purpose? We as Christians with Christ in our hearts have the gift of this new life. We become a new creation to glorify Jesus, preserving unity and preserving peace. Be the voice of peace. Isn't that what our world needs right now? Like right now, unity and peace? Moving on to verse 25 through 29. "So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for the anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." Quite a list of things that we need to be working on. Recognize that when a person lies, not only does it hurt himself or herself, but it also hurts others. White lies grow. We all know what happened to Pinocchio, right? No one wants to walk around with that large nose. No one wants to walk around knowing that other people know that you have told lies. So don't tell lies. I am thankful that we don't have these large noses and that we don't have a hidden, hardened heart, because we have the truth of Jesus. Your words should be words that people can know as truth, and they should be words that build others up. When we do feel anger, or if we do feel anger, we should not move on to sinning in the process. Sometimes we feel angry at sin itself, seeing it and hearing it. And when a person feels angry or hurt or condemned or judged, boy, oh boy, the devil is standing by, just waiting to enter that person's heart. He's just waiting for that opportunity to take that step, to make you curse at someone, to make you gossip about something, to make you get back at the person who has wronged you. Be careful how you handle those moments. I have a right. This is how I feel. I'm hurt. If I'm hurt, then they need to be hurt as well. I'm going to show them. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Watch what comes out of your heart. Watch what comes out of your mind. We need to be known for a kinder, unselfish attitude. Be motivated. This is hard. This is hard work, especially when you're hurt and you're suffering or you're angered. Be motivated to pause, spend time praying and pondering the situation. Spend time recognizing what words you do need to share with others. Learn to be positive about all of these things, and learn to be positive that you are able to move forward and that you are able to take this positive attitude to your work. Never stop trying to make your workplace a place that is safe and a place that is fun and a place where people identify you as a follower of Jesus. Work for the provisions of your family, of your church, and for others. Serving others allows them to feel God's grace. Be a good listener. Make good eye contact with people as they share with you what their needs are or what they're rejoicing for. People need people in today's world. Pastor John Brown wrote, quit being a taker and start being a giver. Well, this is what Jesus was known for, and this is what our aspirations, our goals should be. Not a taker, a giver, a believer in Jesus. Ephesians 4:30-32. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. I'm going to pause. He has identified you as his own. It gives me chills, the goosebumps, when I think, I am his. He has chosen me. He has chosen you. Get rid of all the bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. The Holy Spirit cringes when bitterness and anger and harsh words and bad behavior occurs in our lives. Actions with evil intent should not be part of our Christian lives. I'm mad at her. I'm not inviting her to my Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not going to send a Christmas card to them. I'm not going to buy from their kid because they're selling to raise money for their school. No, they're not a nice family. These are things that it inches into our lives. And we need to have attitude adjustments. Don't let evil be a part of your life. Grief is felt by the Spirit when we put ourselves first while putting others down. The Lord is kind and tender-hearted and forgiving to each of us. These gifts allow us to live a healing and loving life. We need to be kind and forgiving to others. We need to forgive ourselves as well, if necessary, ask for forgiveness. I encourage you all always to allow Jesus to retrain your hearts and minds to be forgiving. Jesus taught on forgiveness. There was a certain man who had a servant who owed $16 million, and he called him in and said, "Pay me what you owe me." And the man said, "Oh, I can't pay you. Give me a little time and I will try." And this man went out and caught a fellow servant that owed him 17 bucks. And he took him by the neck and he said, "Pay me what you owe me." The poor person said, "I am sorry, but I can't right now. Give me a little time and I will pay you." And he said, "No way, I have to have it right now." He took him to court and he had him thrown into debtor's prison. Now the Lord, who had forgiven him the $16 million debt, called him and said, "How much did you owe me?" $16 million. "And didn't I just say that I forgive you of this debt?" "Well, yes. How is it that I hear that you got hold of one of your servants who owed you 17 bucks and you had him thrown into debtor's prison because of his debt?" And he said, "That's not right. We are to forgive as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Forgive has for Christ's sake, because God has forgiven us for the 17 million. Who are we to hold small grudges or debts against each other?" Be sure to keep your attitudes and your actions under the control of the Holy Spirit. Love others strong enough so that the truth may be spoken and lived. Be aware of hiding your faith as you hide behind a wall of niceness. Don't hide your faith. Live out your faith. Let's compliment each other as we walk with our Lord. This is a way to think of the anger we may store in our hearts. Pour the water of forgiveness onto your anger and watch it die out. Do not let anger or hurt or pain consume any moments in your life. Put the flames out before it consumes a part of you that can't be recovered. Jesus is our Lord, and he loves each and every one of you, and he forgives you, and he is walking with us, complimenting us every day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Please help us to walk in a manner that becomes a son of God. May we put off the old desires and affections so that we might put on that new person following Christ, even if each morning we need to renew our prayer to become more like you. Help us to do so. Help us to build each other up in your love. May we have the courage and the gentleness to speak and live the truth in Christ's solid yet very gentle love. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.